Good morning. Welcome all of you this morning, and let's enter into our time of worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you very much, praise team, for that wonderful song, a very good message for the season of Christmas. I want to welcome all of you this morning and all of you who are visiting with us, or if you have family who's here this morning, we welcome you this morning. I just want to go over a few announcements today. First of all, there will not be any children's church during the service today. There won't be any children's church. I want to go over a few announcements in your bulletin. We have Tomorrow we have our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock, so we invite all of you to come. Right before that, at 6 o'clock, we have our live nativity scene. You can see the stable out there. We'll be right out there, and we invite you to join us at 6 o'clock for that. I believe they're practicing at 4 o'clock. Yeah, so if you're in the nativity, please be here at 4 o'clock to go over that. Also, just a reminder that to check your mailboxes, the offering envelopes are there for 2019. You can pick them up. And you can see also the first Sunday of January is our candle lighting and memorial service. So just wanted to let you know about that. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Let's enter into our time as we have our Advent reading and Advent candle lighting.
Advent is a time to praise.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
During Advent, we remember God's past faithfulness.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
During Advent, we remember God's present goodness.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
During Advent, we remember God's future promises.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
This morning, we will light four candles. The first candle reminds us that during Advent, we wait upon the promises of the Lord. The second candle reminds us to watch for God's presence with expectant eyes and anxious hearts. The third candle reminds us to prepare ourselves to receive the gift of the promised Savior. As we light the fourth candle, we are reminded that Advent is a time to give praise for what God has done, for what God is currently doing, and for what God will bring to completion. As the light of Advent grows brighter, it reminds us that we move closer to receiving the gift of the Savior.
Oh,
Let's all stand and sing our two songs, opening songs. Do You Hear What I Hear? And Shine On Us. The praise team will lead us this morning in our congregational singing.
Do You See What I See?
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your holy light, Lord, which shines in the shadows of this hour here, Lord, as we worship you. We thank you for the light of Jesus Christ that came in the form of a baby, Lord, that you sent down from heaven. We thank you, Lord, for that good news that came to the earth, Lord. We look with anticipation as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We thank you for this time of worship 2 days before Christmas, Lord. We're here to honor and celebrate you, Lord, as the miracle that you've done. We pray, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us in this time of worship, Lord, that we truly may worship the birth of our Savior, Lord. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds to the leading of your Holy Spirit. May the set-apart time, Lord, be pleasing to you. And may we leave here today changed forever for what you've done. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's read our offertory thought and prayer this morning, taken from the prophet Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read this in unison. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The ushers may come forward this morning as we take up our morning offering, and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the offerings that we're about to give. We pray your blessings upon these offerings, Lord. We pray that we would always have a heart to give to you and to your church. We pray, continue to pray for this church and for the needs for ministry here, Lord God. Help us just to continue to do our part and to give as you lead, as best as we can, Lord. And help us to trust, Lord, that you're going to provide for the needs of this ministry. Bless this time of offering. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're all familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing. Choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep.
Thank you, praise team, for the songs this morning. We come to a time of our morning prayer. In your bulletin, you'll see a number of list names that we need to remember and lift up in prayer this morning. We also see in the bulletin that this week we always pray for a church and a district, and this week we're praying for the Schuylkill Church of the Brethren, for the ministry that they do right up the road from here. So keep that church in prayer. Let's bow our heads for our morning prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we come as your people. We are people, Lord, who are anxious. There might be a lot of things in our hearts and minds right now when it comes to Christmas. Lord God, we have many preparations to make, Lord. Maybe families who are traveling, Lord. Plans that are made, Lord. Just pray that you would give us a sense of peace and assurance, Lord, that you're with us through these preparations. But most of all, Lord, we would help us to remember, Lord, the main reason, which is the birth of our Savior at this time of the year. We thank you, Lord, for this fellowship this morning, the time of worship. This time we lift up the many, Lord, who are listed this morning for special prayers. We pray for the ones, Lord, who are dealing with ongoing illnesses. Pray that you would grant them healing and peace, Lord, to let them know, Lord, that you're with them through anything that they face. We pray for families, Lord, who are struggling right now financially, families who are struggling internally, Lord. We ask that you give them, Lord, a sense of peace at this time. We pray for our shut-ins this morning, the ones who are very faithful members here in this church but cannot make it out, Lord. Give them, Lord, your peace and presence, and help us as a church to reach out to them and to remember them at this time. We want to remember, Lord, all the ones who are in the hospital right now, Lord. We pray your holy presence with them at this time. We lift up our nation at this time, our president, our members of Congress, Supreme Court, our law enforcement. Lord, we just pray that we would be obedient to those who are in power right now, Lord. The Bible says that we need to pray for those who are in authority over us, Lord. Pray that we would support them. We pray that we would be lights of Jesus Christ as a church here within our community. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that we are your representatives, Lord, and by the way, by our manners, by the words we say. And this week, Lord, we lift up the Schuylkill Church, the Brethren, Lord, neighboring church here. We lift up the pastor there, and the ministry there, Lord, that you would give them, Lord, a sense of mission and purpose. Use them, Lord, to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and help us here at Myerstown, as we minister here, help us to be faithful to your calling, that we would have the light of Jesus Christ to those around us. Pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look into your holy word for this morning's scripture text. And we pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we have two scripture texts that I'd like for us to look at. So turn your Bibles to our Old Testament reading, taken from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. Best way to find Micah is to go to Matthew, begin the New Testament, and just go back a few books and you get Micah. This morning's message is entitled, Good Things Are Coming. Good Things Are Coming. I'll be reading from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, then I'll be going over to our New Testament reading from Luke 1, verse 39 through 45. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth, and then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. And from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which brings us to a fuller understanding of who you are. May we always be committed to knowing and studying and reading your word, Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you someone who believes that good things are coming in your life? Our 5-year-old son, Daniel, is at the age where he can't wait for Christmas to come. Daniel knows he's going to get some presents. And he has asked Rachel and I over and over again, Did you get my present? Did you get my Christmas presents? We hear this a lot. So he knows that good things are coming to him. At the same time, I try to tell Daniel to be patient and wait for his presence. I've told him over and over again that good things come to those who wait, but I'm not sure if he gets that message yet. In fact, many adults don't really get that message of good things come to those who wait. Because people today don't want to wait. But the Bible gives us a different message. The Bible tells us from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So the main theme we find in today's text is good things come to those
who wait on the Lord. When you look at the scripture readings for today, there was only one hope the people were waiting for, and that was the coming of Jesus Christ to save. In the New Testament, people are waiting for Jesus to come to heal the oppressed, to be someone to cast out evil spirits, to give people hope to the poor. And this is how the gospel of Jesus Christ began. It began with the prophets of God who gave the people of God a message of hope in the coming of the Messiah. The original hope of Jesus Christ as Messiah dates back about 700 years before Christ was born. That is when the first time you hear the word Savior being mentioned. It was announced to the tiny nation of Israel. God told them, your Messiah, your leader, will come one day. But they had to wait. They had to wait for that fulfillment to come. And then if you look at the book of Luke, we find the angel Gabriel who came to Mary to announce the news that she'd be the mother of Jesus. And from that time on, Mary had to wait. She had to wait for that fulfillment of the good news to come. If you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 45, our New Testament text, we find that Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, gave Mary a message of hope. She said to Mary, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now that word fulfillment is key. The word fulfillment that came from the words of Elizabeth meant completion, perfection, the coming of Jesus. What was this fulfillment? Look at Luke 1, 31 to 33. Go back a little bit before Elizabeth is talking to Mary. Luke 1, 31 to 33. This is where Christ's birth was announced to Mary. The angel said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign forever over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The angel there announced the good news to Mary. That is the Christmas message. That is what the world needed to hear at that time. And Mary would be the one who would be the one to give birth to the Savior. Now I want us to think a moment about what that would have been like to be Mary. What would this message mean for Mary personally? Try to put yourself in her place. This was a challenge for Mary at first. She had to be convinced that this was good news. That's the first thing she had to know, that this was good news. She had to be convinced that good things were coming, and good things come to those who wait. One of the things Mary had to be convinced of is that she would be the one who would be the mother of Jesus. Think about what that meant for her. Who was she? She was a common, ordinary person. She was a poor peasant girl. We believe that she was about 13 years of age when the news came to her. She did not come from any royalty. She did not come from any priestly, holy family like her cousin Elizabeth did. What would be in her world? What would be in Mary's world as a young teenage girl at the time? How could Mary get over the whole question of why did God choose me to be the mother of our Lord? To quote Mary, if you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 34, after Gabriel gave her the news, she said, "How can this be? How can this be? How will this happen?" How many times have we asked God that same question? God, how are you going to work this out? I've asked God that question a few times when I was facing a difficult situation. You know, I've always believed, I always knew that God is in control, that he's holy and good. But yet, when I face difficult situations, I'm wondering, God, how are you going to work this out? How are you going to work this out? What's the plan? Well, Mary was someone who needed to be convinced. Who would convince her? Who would convince her that she'd be the mother of the Savior? Well, it would be the angel Gabriel. Look at Luke 1, 35 to 37. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Now think about that. After this visitation from Gabriel, Mary said then, "Let it be to me according to your word." And at that time, Mary was convinced that she be the mother of Jesus after Gabriel explained what this whole plan was. Now let's think about how was Mary convinced that she be the mother of her Lord. She was not convinced by her word. She was not convinced by her parents' words. She was not convinced by the word of any priest. She was convinced by the word of the Lord through the angel. And that tells us something about who do we seek approval from? Who do we seek, you know, convincing from? Do we seek people's approval or do we seek God's approval? I remember the time when I was called into the ministry. I was not 13 like Mary was. I was older. I was about 23. But I still had the same questions that Mary had about why God was calling me into the ministry. I had no college training. I had no seminary. I didn't really think that I was an active church worker. I really held no office in the church at that time. And therefore, what I focused on was my inadequacy. And the first thing I did when I felt God calling the ministry is that I wanted to seek approval. I told my parents that I believe God is calling me into the ministry. I told my pastor of the church. I told my friends, not because I was boasting, not because, you know, I'm thinking this is really great. I was seeking approval. But there came a point when I had to say, I have to go on faith by God's word alone. I had to believe that God will find a way. It doesn't matter how many people I talk to. It doesn't matter how many times I heard people tell me, "Well, you're going to do just fine. You're going to do just fine." It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The calling of God upon a person's life, whether it's pastor or whether it's deacon or whether it's a person with the gift of ministry, that calling of a person's life is not to seek people's approval. We are seeking the approval of God alone. We are seeking the approval of God's ministry. you are fulfilling a mission and a purpose from God alone. The church does that as well. This is what Mary was facing. Many times we have to rely on faith in God alone to fulfill that mission, whatever we're called to do. We have to rely on faith in God when things are out of control that only God can fulfill. Why do you think the Bible says, for with God, nothing will be impossible? Why did the angel Gabriel say that? It wasn't just for Mary. That's for us. For with God, nothing is going to be impossible. How many times have you faced something in your life that seemed to be impossible? Whether it's career, whether it's future decision, whether it's looking ahead, whether it's starting school, college, whatever you're going through. How many times have you faced something that seemed impossible? And what do people do when they face something that seems impossible? They walk away. We walk away. We walk away out of fear. We walk away out of fear that I'm going to fail. But facing the impossible is part of our calling as Christians and as a church. William Barclay, a biblical commentator, says this, and I quote, God does not choose a person for ease and comfort and selfish joy, but for a task that will take all that head and heart and hand can bring to it. Jesus Christ came not to make life easy, but to make men and women great, another commentator says. And so therefore, we are living in a day where all we have is the hope of Christ in a hopeless and impossible world. All we have is the hope of Christ. But at the same time, as Christians, as a church, think of the power and authority of God within that promise of Jesus Christ. Think of that promise of Christ. Think of the power and authority that we have as believers. And that power is not in ourselves. It's through the power and authority of God through the Holy Spirit. We, as God's people, we, the church of Christ, have that authority from God to make a difference in our world and society today. It was no different when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, there was a message of hope in a hopeless world. When Mary received this calling from Gabriel, it came at a time of turmoil when God's people were losing hope. Things seemed to be impossible. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2 that King Herod ordered all the male children in Bethlehem who were 2 years and under to be put to death. Now, just think about that. Think about the horror of that order from that evil leader. It shows that it was a very dangerous time for anyone who is waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ to come. What would the people do? Would they fear and not believe? Or would they believe? The people really needed to believe the words of the angel. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Maybe you're facing something impossible this morning. Maybe you're facing something that seems to be impossible. We have people who are facing impossible situations. People with, for example, people who have cancer, people who have sickness. They face impossible situations where healing seems to be impossible. They may have tried every doctor, every medicine, every sort of human advice to no avail. They need to believe, for with God, nothing will be impossible. With our finances, whether our finances with our family, with the church, Sometimes it just seems like it's impossible, but with God, nothing will be impossible. So we all have a choice to make today. We can either believe in the good news, or we can deny it. We can make light of it. We can say there are more important things for me to focus on. But when we face the impossible situation, this is where we need to say personally, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. You know, when we say those words, and I really believe we need to say those words at times, that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, I really believe when we say that, things change. When we say that, when we believe that, something very extraordinary will happen. This is what happened to Mary. God's going to work something out. I remember a time in my life when I had some major anxiety. I had excessive worry over situations that I faced. And I would have these, I call them anxiety attacks. And I always had them at night when I could not sleep. They were bad. They were bad. One night, this was a long time ago, one night I had one of these anxiety attacks, and I had this fear. And this is what I did. I sang a song in my head. Actually, I was going over the words of the song. I didn't actually sing it. But I sang a song in my head that's taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Some of you may know the song. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. It's taken from 1 John 4, 4. And I said those words over and over again while I was having this anxiety attack. I said, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. The words go, Satan is like a roaring lion roaring to and fro, but God has promised his power. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. I said it over and over again. And then within time, that anxiety within me was gone. Now, that was something that I call extraordinary that only God could do. I didn't do that. All I did was be obedient and believe the word of God. We see this with Mary and Elizabeth. God worked the extraordinary. We see this when Mary entered the home of Elizabeth. The Bible says Mary greeted Elizabeth when Elizabeth was expecting. Now, this is a miracle right there because the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Now, think about that. This happened to a woman who was once barren. She could not have children. It was an impossible situation that only God could make happen. And when the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb, somehow that baby knew about Jesus, which is why he leaped in the womb. And this was not some ordinary contraction that a woman has during her pregnancy. This, I believe, was a major bump. All right? And after this leap in the womb, the Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was that? What was that all about? That was a confirmation that Jesus is the Christ. The baby, of course, was John the Baptist. And somehow, the baby that was in the womb knew that that was the Lord and Savior. That he is the one who will take away the sins of anyone who trusts in him, which is why the baby leaped in the womb. Something very extraordinary. You see, this is what God is able to do in our lives. He is able to make the extraordinary happen in our lives. So this morning, we are all like Mary. When the angel came to her, we have the assurance of the blessing of Jesus Christ. Luke 1, verse 45. Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, this is what it means to be blessed. We hear that a lot. We hear that word a lot. You know, God bless you. you know, blessings upon you. I think sometimes we don't really know what that means. But that really means extreme fortune. We're not talking about good luck. We're not talking about financial fortune or no problems at all. Instead, in this context, to be blessed is to believe. That's what it is. One biblical commentator says this: if one will only trust, there are no limits to what God may bring to pass. Only God could have performed the miracle birth of Jesus Christ. Only God could have given someone to take away our sins and bring us to God. Only God can give us eternal life with Him in heaven through Jesus Christ. This is a miracle that we find at Christmas. So this morning, my message to you is this: as you celebrate Christmas, I want you to think about the God who made Christmas happen. I want you to think about the God who says, nothing is impossible through me, and what that means for you. I want you to think about how God can make something extraordinary happen so that you can say what Mary said to the angel: behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That is the message for us today. We are all called to be humble servants to our Lord. That means whatever God says, we will do. Whatever God says, we will believe. Because we know of a God who can do all things. Good things are coming this Christmas. May it be so for you and me today. Let us pray. God, as we are here this morning, we have heard the songs of praise. We have heard the message of your word. We hear what the word says about the birth of a Savior, and nothing is impossible through Jesus Christ. As we have heard that, Lord, we pray that you give us direction and assurance as we leave here today. I pray for anyone this morning who's facing an impossible situation where they're losing hope. I pray that you would just touch them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. I pray that anyone this morning, Lord, who has a burden on their hearts, that they come forward and give that to you at the altar and pray to you for direction. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in our lives with the birth of Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song is O Holy Night. I invite the praise team to come forward as they lead us through this song of praise. Let's all stand as we sing O Holy Night.
Before I read the benediction, I forgot to mention during the sharing of the prayer time that Lindsay Diamond is in the hospital now expecting our child. So we need to lift up Lindsay and the family in prayer. So let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the love and that you have shown us, Lord God. Right now, Lord, we do lift up Lindsay right now. We just pray for this deliverance, Lord God, that your hand would be in it, Lord, that you would give Lindsay your peace, your healing, your strength, Lord, for Seth and the family, Lord. Give them strength and peace during this time, Lord God. And we just pray that you would give them your hope that's before them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The benediction, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.